Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
And Jeremy, we want to look now at the U word, unindicted. Does President Trump now have something in common with disgraced former President Richard Nixon, now that Trump's former lawyer, Michael Cohen, said in his plea agreement that he made illegal payments during the campaign at the direction of the candidate? Here's George Washington law professor Jonathan Turley on Fox News last night.
If they believe that what's in this indictment is true and that he was directed to make this payment, they clearly believe the payment was a campaign finance violation, then the president just became an unindicted co-conspirator.
Nick Ackerman was part of the Watergate prosecution team. He's now a partner at Dorsey & Whitney, and he agrees. Nick, that term, unindicted co-conspirator, resonates. Explain what it meant with Richard Nixon.
When it comes to Richard Nixon, he was named as an unindicted co-conspirator in the Watergate cover-up trial, which related to the obstruction of justice charges against a whole series of people in his administration.
This is where it's not the crime, it's the cover-up phrase became so familiar. There was a small-time bungled burglary, and it was the cover-up of that burglary in the Watergate building. There's an actual building that led to your investigation.
That's correct.
And how did Nixon become an unindicted co-conspirator? What was he accused of doing?
He was accused of conspiring with various people in his administration, his two top aides, then Attorney General John Mitchell, and others agreed to cover up the investigation and to keep it away from the White House and the president.
And so he ultimately stepped down. He was never indicted.
That's correct, because Gerald Ford wound up pardoning him after Nixon resigned from office on August 8th, 1974.
Well, Nixon was listed in the trial as one of the unindicted co-conspirators.
Part of the reason for doing that in terms of a trial is that statements in furtherance of a conspiracy are admissible in evidence, but you have to show that the statements were made by somebody who is a member of that conspiracy. And the tapes that were put into evidence by themselves showed that Nixon was a member of that conspiracy, so that the statements he made to others who were on trial were part of statements made in furtherance of a conspiracy. One is named as an unindicted co-conspirator in a trial such as that in order to ensure the admissibility of statements made by unindicted co-conspirators that are in furtherance of a conspiracy.
Well, so that was then, and now you have Michael Cohen, again, in his plea agreement, saying that he made the payments he did during the campaign at the direction of a candidate for federal office. His lawyer went on to say that was indeed Donald Trump. There are tapes of Donald Trump speaking to Michael Cohen about
this payment. That's exactly right. Now, keep in mind, they did not name Donald Trump in the indictment.
Right.
That's because the Department of Justice has a policy of not naming people in indictments who are not actually indicted. But it's pretty clear here, based on the tape that has come out and other statements in the press, and by virtue of what Michael Cohen said in open court, that the other conspirator in this situation was Donald Trump. It also appears that there were other people involved in this conspiracy. It wasn't just Donald Trump. There were others that were involved in paying these phony invoices that were created to pay money back to Michael Cohen that he had put forward to the two women that were involved. So the real question is, are other people going to be indicted relating to this same conspiracy, relating to the payoffs to these two women?
Well, and the biggest question of all is, can the sitting president be indicted? Has the Supreme Court settled on that?
No, that is not settled. I absolutely see no reason why he could not be indicted. The argument that Bill Clinton made in the Paula Jones case was that he shouldn't be involved in a civil case while he's still in office because of the duties of the president. And the court rejected those arguments, basically saying that the courts could facilitate their schedule to the president's schedule. And in this particular case with Donald Trump, I mean, his argument is much, much weaker. First of all, he has gone ahead and filed a lawsuit in federal court and submitted to the jurisdiction of a federal court in Los Angeles against Stormy Daniels, whom he claims he doesn't even know. And in addition, he spends so much time on the golf course that it makes it difficult for him to argue that he couldn't give up a couple days of golf to attend depositions or to attend discovery and sessions in a criminal court proceeding.
Well, Nick Ackerman, you and others, Jonathan Turley, are saying that President Trump is now an unindicted co-conspirator. Nixon stepped down. Is there a time when a claim like that gets formalized by the court?
The only time a claim like unindicted co-conspirator becomes formalized is when there is a criminal prosecution against other people charged with conspiracy, and the government has to list in a bill of particulars who the co-conspirators are. Mm-hmm. But clearly, based on the facts in this information that Michael Cohen pled to yesterday, there can be little doubt that Donald Trump is an unindicted co-conspirator in those two crimes.
Nick Ackerman, former Watergate prosecutor, now a partner at the firm Dorsey & Whitney. Nick, thank you.
Thank you.
And your thoughts on all of the news coming at us are welcome at hearnow.org.